Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Welcome to Open Arms Church. Those who are here in person, especially good to see you, some of you. We haven't seen you in a while. It's great to have you back. Welcome to you who are watching live stream, whether this morning or at some point during this week. We're so glad to come, seek the Lord, worship the Lord, open up His Word. We want to honor moms today. Moms, wave back. Good to see you. Happy Mother's Day. Yes. It's great to have you with us this morning. What a year for moms. You know, I've talked to some moms and they said, you know, without this pandemic, I wouldn't have connected with my children the way I have because they were home and I was home. And this challenge opened up new doors. For others, that was a great challenge because they were still called into work and yet their children were home. And so there were different balances, things to work out. Some of us may have lost a mom. How heavy has that been? Some moms lost a child. Many different things happening this year for moms. But we remember you, we love you, we honor you. All ladies here at Open Arms Church today, because some of you, you've never had physical children. But here at Open Arms Church, you've been a mentor, a role model. You've cared for our children in nursery, in kids' church, and other ministries. So all ladies here today, when you leave, one of our deacons is going to greet you with a rose. And I don't know if they've dethorned those roses, so be careful. But we just want you to leave with a flower, just remembering you are a treasure to God, and you are a treasure to us. So we're glad that you're here as we celebrate and worship the Lord. Hopefully you have a program. You'll notice some things that are happening this Saturday. Come back at 9 o'clock. That's right. But wear your working clothes. Bring a pair of gloves. We are going to beautify the land that the Lord's given us because we're getting ready for outdoor worship for the whole summer, beginning Memorial Day weekend. Yeah. God's given us beautiful grounds, and they're going to be more beautiful because we're going to gather together on a Saturday, this Saturday, and we're going to just go at this place. Many have already begun to do the work, and we're excited about that. So come and be a part of that. Those of you who are new, checking out Open Arms, you've asked, how do I connect with a Bible study? How do I connect with others? How do I be a part of this church and serve? What do you believe? All those things are covered and more in a special class we call Discovering Open Arms Church. That is going to be offered. What's the date? The 23rd of May. 2 weeks from today, after the 11 o'clock service, around 12:15, in the youth room, kids' church room, we're going to provide you lunch, and it's very interactive. You may have a question or two or 10. Boy, we'd love to receive questions and answer those, but also unpack for you our beginning, our present, where God's taking us, and how you, we trust, can be a part of that. So be a part of that class. Please sign up in the foyer outside, so we know you're coming. We'll have food, we'll have material for you. We want you to be a part of that. As we go to pray and seek the Lord, we want to just remember that when we gather, His Spirit is in our presence. He's in every one of us as a believer. He has sealed you and He's marked you. But there's something about when God's children gather together, God's Spirit is here, and He speaks through His Word and through worship that brings Him glory. Let's pray. Father, it's good to seek You this morning, to entrust our hearts to You. Thank You for giving us life. Thank You for our moms who carried us and gave us life. Thank You, Lord, that no matter what that experience has been for each person in this room, we can thank You today. That we have an opportunity to be alive and to respond to Your Spirit, who when we are born again, a second time, because Jesus said, unless man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That means spiritually, as gracious and as wonderful as our moms may have been, Lord, You give us second birth, and for that we're grateful. So meet every heart here today. Help Pastor Kevin as he brings God's word to the book of Proverbs to us. Make it alive for us, applicable to every single person here as we look to honor You. Thank You for making us the apple of Your eye. Thank You for changing us from the inside out. May those hearts be hungering, thirsting, and being filled and fed this morning by you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
One voice in the dark, a song that lights up the stars, one breath that gives life, one sovereign in power, who speaks with thunder and fire, one Lord, one King. There is no other that can compare to you. You are the one alone in greatness, the one who never changes. Jesus, you are the one who rose in power, the one who reigns forever. Jesus, the one true God. Example is here. Word became flesh and light shined among us. His glory revealed. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day. One day they led Him up Calvary's mountain. One day they nailed Him to die on a tree. Suffering anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. Hands that healed nations, stretched out on a tree, and took the nails from me. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore.
Death could not hold Him. The grave cannot keep Him from rising again. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day, oh, glorious day, glorious day. One day the trumpet will sound for His coming. One day the skies with His glory. Wonderful day, my beloved one, bring me. My Savior Jesus is mine. Living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried my sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. Oh, glorious day. Glorious day. Oh, glorious day.
Father, we thank You for the promise of that day, that glorious day when Jesus is going to return and make all things new. Lord, would You help us? Help us to cast our cares on You, Lord. Our burdens, our trials, our temptations, and our sin. May we seek Your forgiveness, and Your grace, and Your mercy. Thank you.
I've carried a burden for too long on my own. And I wasn't created to bear it alone. I see your invitation. Let it all go, and I see it now. I'm laying it down. All I know is I need you. I run to the Father, I fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, the reason to wait. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, 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 oh. You saw my condition, had a plan from the start. Your son for redemption, the price for my heart. And I don't have a context for that kind of love. I don't understand, I can't comprehend. All I know is I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, the reason's away. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend. So I run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, oh. As I am, you pull me in. You know how I need you now. My heart has been in your sights long before my first breath. Running into your arms, it's running to life. This rush deep in my chest, your mercy is calling out. Just as I am, you pull me in. I know I need you now. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, the reason's away. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, fall into grace. I'm done with the hiding, the reason's away. My heart found a surgeon, my soul found a friend. So I run to the Father. Again and again. Oh, 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 oh. condition had a plan from the start.
Father, thank you that we can call out to you. Thank you that we can run to you. Lord, thank you that we can come to you this morning and open your word and listen to you. Lord, we ask you to be that heart surgeon for us. We ask you to help us to see your love and the way in which you want us to walk, leaning on you, yielding to you, following you. Please speak to us this morning, Lord. We pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? This morning, we are in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, and we're going to start with verse 10. We're going to start with verse 10 of Proverbs 31, and we're going to read the last 22 verses of Proverbs. We have been walking through Proverbs, this book that teaches us how to live skillfully God's way. And what we've been doing these last several weeks is taking different topics, the major topics that Proverbs teaches on, very practical, everyday topics, how to live life, how to navigate life wisely. This morning, our topic is wise womanhood. Wise womanhood. So before we dive in, there's two potential problems with me teaching about wise womanhood. The one of them, obviously, is that I am not a woman. So for me to teach you, ladies, how to be wise women, that may be a potential problem. But it's good for us to remember that, see, my job is not to teach you my wisdom. Our job as pastors is to teach you God's wisdom, is to teach you what the Bible says. And God has some very helpful things for women. We have a lot of voices in our culture about what a woman should be, what a woman should do. And God is very clear. He teaches us about wise womanhood. So we're going to look at what the Bible says, not what I would say about that. The second potential problem is for other men in the room to think, well, okay, it's Mother's Day, and we're talking about wise womanhood, so I guess I'm here, so I might as well stay, but I'm not sure I'm going to glean a lot from this. But see, the problem with that is the book of Proverbs was not originally written for women. The original audience was men, young men. So guys, don't think this is not relevant for you. The book of Proverbs, the original audience was to young men, Solomon writing to his sons, his young sons, teaching them how to grow up wisely. And a big part of that, Solomon knew, was for them to be able to recognize a wise woman when they saw one. That they wouldn't pursue foolish women, adulterous women, we've seen those in the past chapters in Proverbs. They would recognize a wise woman, an excellent woman when they saw one, and that they would pursue those kind of women. So, guys, sit up straight. This can be very helpful, especially if you're single and wanting to be married. This can really help as we look at this. But before we read, there's one other thing we want to see is, there's 22 verses here we're going to read, and coincidentally, there's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Now, this was written not in English originally. It was written in Hebrew, the Hebrew language. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. We have 26. Hebrew has 22. And what happens is the author here, he starts each verse with the next letter of the alphabet. If we all read Hebrew, we'd see that. He begins verse 1 with a word that starts with A. He begins verse 2 with a word that starts with B, and it's an acrostic. And in many ways, one pastor described this passage as a string of pearls describing the excellent woman, the wise woman. So to help us a little bit, what I've done is put in bold for each verse the word that would be at the beginning in Hebrew. What that does is it kind of helps us to see the emphasis of
the writer as he's writing here. So let's read. This is Proverbs chapter 31, verse 10 through 31. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle, these tools for sewing. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Verse 10, right back at the top, it says, an excellent wife, who can find? She's far more precious than jewels. The word here, wife, in the original language, can be translated woman as well. Now, in the context, obviously, this woman has a husband and children, so she's a wife. But there's the big picture things we're going to look at this morning apply not just to those with children and children at home, not just to those with husbands. It's a picture of wise womanhood in general. There's two overarching aspects that are a part of walking wisely as a woman. Now, there's a lot of details in here, but we're going to talk about two big picture characteristics. Here's the first one. To be a wise woman, serve others. To be a wise woman, to walk wisely as a woman, serve others. Look to serve others with your life. There's a lot of activity going on here in these verses, isn't there? This passage doesn't seem to be talking about a specific woman by name. It seems to be talking about an ideal picture of what womanhood looks like. And there's a lot of activity. There's a lot of work going on here. But what the activity centers around is not her. Now, she does clothe herself. She does obviously probably feed herself. But you see, this woman is organizing her life not around herself, but she's organizing her life around others. Did you see that? It mentions who they are, a household. It talks about her household many times, her husband, her children. When she wakes up in the morning, she's not asking, well, what do I want to do for me today? What she's asking is, what do I need to do for others today? She's organizing her life to serve others. Now, there's a few things we can learn from her. First is that she serves others with diligence. There's a lot of diligence in these verses, isn't there? Let's take just a sampling. Look at verse 13 through 15. This is just a little sample, but it says she seeks wool and flax. Now, flax is what is made into linen for clothes, and works willingly with her hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She goes all the way across town, apparently, to get the food that her family needs. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings food from afar. She rises while it's yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She's not buying pre-made clothes, is she? Not that there's anything wrong with that, but what we see is a picture here. She's gathering like the raw materials to make the thread, to make the fabric, to make the clothes. There's a lot of diligence going on here. With the food, she's not ordering the pre-packaged stuff, is she? She's gathering all of the ingredients, and she's preparing this food for her kids, for her husband, for, it says, even her maidens. The idea is her servants, her staff, so to speak, at her home. She's diligent. She rises while it's still night. You actually kind of wonder when she sleeps, because look at verse 18. Her lamp does not go out at night. So she gets up while it's still dark, and she stays up well into the nighttime. You think, well, when does she sleep? See, The point of this is not, ladies, to deprive yourself of sleep. The point is that part of walking wisely is diligently serving others. Look at verse 27. It kind of wraps all of this up. Verse 27, she looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not idle. She's diligently serving others. See, the thing about serving ourselves is most times it doesn't take a lot of diligence to serve ourselves, does it? It just kind of comes natural. We all just kind of drift into that. But see, if we're going to serve others, there's going to have to be a diligence to that, a discipline to that, a consistency to that. And not a begrudging diligence, because in verse 13 it says she works with willing hands. There's a picture of she delights in what she's doing in serving others. Now, I don't know if we may be watching now or later on or even here this morning. I don't know if we have any mothers of young children, very young children. Maybe you've been a mother of very young children. There is something about having a young family that kind of presses you into the need for diligence, isn't there? Maybe you recognize these verses, getting up while it's still night to take care of your little one, or staying up well into the night, having your lamp on because there's so many things during the day you didn't get done because of the little ones. There's something about having small children that just requires diligence. And see, the picture is that's part of wise womanhood. And sometimes those seasons of life that can seem so draining and so difficult, they're the very essence of what God says is serving others with diligence, to embrace that. And if you're in that season, or you know somebody in that season, just be encouraged that that's not something that is shouldn't be, or something that we can just kind of can't wait till it passes, but to embrace that and say, Lord, help me to serve with diligence. Help me not to resent this, but to, Lord, know this is part of what you've called me to in serving others with diligence. And let me say this, that mothers of young children particularly, that they have so much to teach us about serving others diligently. May we encourage them, honor them, help them as they go through that season. Serving others with diligence, this woman teaches us. There's another aspect of serving others. She serves others with compassion. Look at verse 20. It's kind of tucked in here in the middle. Verse 20, she opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She opens her hand to the poor. The word there means palm. She opens her palm to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. That's amazing, because when you read these verses, this woman has her hands full already, doesn't she? I mean, do you see all that she's doing? She's got her hands full with her own household and all of the things that she's doing, and yet she opens her hand. She doesn't hold that just for her inner circle, but she opens her hand to the poor around her. And not just, well, if they come and ask me, I might help them. But the second line here is she reaches out her hand to the needy. There's a picture of proactively going outside of her inner circle, her immediate family, those pressing needs that she sees every day, and looking outside of those with compassion to those who around her may be in need. Now, so many times, all of us, but say particularly ladies, particularly mothers, you may think, I've got my hands full. How in the world am I going to help the poor? Help those outside of my family, my kids, my husband, maybe my elderly parents. Maybe you don't have children at home now. Maybe you don't have a husband at this point, but maybe you're caring for elderly parents. Maybe your routine and your work and just your commitments already, you think, how in the world, my hands are full. How can I open them to others in need? Let me give you two suggestions, and these really apply to everybody, not just ladies. Number one, have your antenna up. Just keep a lookout for opportunities, those around you who may be in need, that you can serve with your time, maybe with your hands, with labor, maybe even financially, or share a meal, to keep your eyes open for those who may be in need, that we would open our hands to those around us. And the second thing is, the second suggestion is to ask the Lord. Ask the Lord, Lord, show me who is outside of my regular contacts or my regular sphere of influence. Show me who may be in need. And Lord, help me to see it and to be willing and to have the strength to serve those needs. See, part of walking wisely is serving others with compassion, and serving others that are maybe not the others we see every day, or not the others that are related by blood, but maybe others that are outside our circle that may be in need. Serve others with compassion. Here's another aspect that we learn from this woman. Serve others with wise words. Serve others with wise words. Look at verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. These words that she uses, they're two things. They're wise and they're kind. You see that? See, part of what she does, she doesn't just serve people with willing hands. She doesn't just serve her family with willing hands and with her time, but she serves also with her tongue. With her words. Ladies, moms, wives, don't underestimate the impact of your words. Don't underestimate the impact of your words, the influence you can have with the words that you use. Now, we've talked about wise words back in April. You can even go back and watch a couple of the messages, listen to a couple of the messages about how the Proverbs teaches us to use our words wisely. There's this aspect of content. You know, the content of what we say needs to be truthful. It needs to build up and give grace, not tear down. But the timing of our words too. We talked about how many times the most help we can give with our words is to use less of them. And the greatest help we can give is by thinking before we speak. That's wise. And it makes an impact. There's also this in this second line, this picture of kindness speaks of not just content, but even tone. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Now, there are a few other proverbs that warn us about unkind words, that warn us about unwise speech. In three or four places, there's proverbs that specifically warn women about the tongue. Listen to chapter 21, verse 9. Chapter 21, verse 9. It is better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. A few verses later, chapter 21, verse 19. It is better to live in a desert land than with a quarrelsome and fretful woman. It's better to live in the corner of the rooftop. It's better to live in the desert than with a quarrelsome wife, a quarrelsome woman. Sometimes, you know, we'll look at Bible scholars and the books they write to help us understand passages. So on these verses, I looked up different, I looked in different books. In one book, I loved what it said. This Bible scholar with a lot of letters after his name, he wrote about these two verses. He said, the meaning of these verses is self-evident. I thought, okay, that's helpful. It's better to live in a corner of the housetop than in a house shared with a quarrelsome wife. Here's the point. See, Proverbs warns us that we need not to underestimate the impact of our words. And God encourages, not just ladies, but all of us, that our words would be words of wisdom and words of kindness, not of quarreling, not of strife, not of, one translation uses the word contention, but that when we speak, that we speak with wisdom, that we serve others not just with our hands, not just with our time, but with our tongue. That we serve others with wise words. So one aspect of wise womanhood is to serve others. To serve others. And our context may not look exactly like this woman. You may not have children. You may not have a husband. But you still have opportunity to serve others. And that's part of what God calls, not just women, but all of us too. Here's the second overarching aspect here of wise womanhood. It's to humbly yield to the Lord. Humbly yield to the Lord. That's what we see in verse 30. Look at verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Charm is deceitful, beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now, this is kind of the grand finale of this passage. In many ways, that's what an excellent woman is here that he's saying. Excellent woman, verse 10, who can find? Verse 30, she fears the Lord. It's not just a grand finale of this passage. It's the grand finale, in many ways, of the whole book of Proverbs. That's the theme of the book of Proverbs. We've talked about that several weeks ago, fearing the Lord. What does that mean? Well, remember, it doesn't mean that we run away from God terrified. It's not what fear of the Lord means. It means that we approach the Lord. We draw near to him with humility, yielding to the Lord. And that's what God values. We know it because he says it right here. A woman who fears the Lord, who is humble before the Lord, a woman who yields to the Lord, should be the one who's praised. That's what God values, is a woman who pursues him, yields to him in humility. But there are a lot of other things in our world that are praised and valued in women more than that, aren't there? There are a lot of other things that are seen as higher priorities in women. And a couple of them are mentioned right here in verse 30. Charm and beauty. You see that? charm and beauty. What is charm? What does the word charm mean here? Well, the idea is likable. They're likable. They have a good personality. Haven't you ever heard that or said that? That person has a charming personality. They're likable. There's a graciousness to them. They kind of make you want to listen to them and like them. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. See, the Bible doesn't teach us we have to have an abrasive personality or make sure that nobody likes us. It's not wrong to be likable. It's not wrong to have a good personality. The problem is that we can't always trust that. Just because somebody comes across as likable or speaks graciously doesn't always mean that that's what we should believe and pursue. Because sometimes what that is, it's kind of a quick coat of paint over a moldy wall, over a deceptive heart. It can be hiding pride or a self-serving agenda. How many times, we probably all have stories where we have been swindled, taken advantage of, and we look back and we say, I can't believe that person did that because they seemed so nice. They seemed so likable. I didn't see it coming. That's what Proverbs says. Charm is deceptive many times. Don't trust it. Don't just think because somebody speaks nice to you that they are nice. See, the Bible and God places the emphasis on their heart. Are they humble? Are they yielded to the Lord? And sometimes niceness can be a smokescreen for meanness. Charm is deceitful. And then the other aspect here, beauty is vain. Now, beauty, there's nothing wrong with beauty. There's nothing wrong with being attractive. There's nothing wrong with being attracted to something or someone who's beautiful. The problem is that it says here that it's vain. It's vain. Beauty is vain. What does that mean? Well, the word here means it's a vapor. It literally means vapor. It's the same word that Solomon uses in Ecclesiastes when he says, vanity, vanity. Everything is vanity. What he's saying is, it's a vapor. It's not really substantial. There's nothing really foundational about vapor. You know, you can't grab it. It comes out of your teapot, and you can't grab it and put it in a container. We certainly don't build our homes on a foundation of vapor, do we? No, because there's nothing substantial to it. There's no foundation to it. We need not to build our lives or pursue a relationship or center our existence around beauty, around our beauty. And the other thing is it doesn't last. It doesn't last. You know, it's sobering for all of us to think here this morning that for most of us, past a certain age, that our beauty will never increase. Is that sobering? To think right now, for most of us, we are as beautiful or as handsome as we're going to be for the rest of our life. Nothing wrong with that. See, but it's just reality. That's what it's saying. It's vain. It's temporary. It's like that vapor. You see it, and it's gone. So that's the problem with valuing beauty above humility, above yielding to the Lord. See, we should not chase charm, and we should not chase beauty. Value them above everything else. Guys, we should not, when we look at women, if you're single and desire to be married, when you consider a woman to pursue and have a relationship with, maybe marry, you should not chase primarily charm, personality, and beauty. It doesn't mean they don't factor in, but that should not be at the top of your list. Why? Because it doesn't last and it can be deceitful. But a woman who fears the Lord, that's what you need to look for. Don't chase charm and don't chase beauty, ladies. Don't make that your number one priority. Don't make that the center of your significance. Don't build your life on that, because it won't last. This verse can be so helpful, not just for men, but for ladies, to help us to know what is God's priority. What he tells us is that we should praise a woman who is humble and who yields to the Lord. This verse will save you, us, years of heartache if we will take this to heart. Now, it goes directly upstream in the current of our culture that elevates, objectifies women, elevates beauty and personality above anything else. And God cuts through that and he says, no, this is what's most important for everyone. A woman who fears the Lord, a man who fears the Lord. But here's the reality. You and I cannot serve others unless we are humbly yielded to the Lord. Ladies, moms, you can't serve others unless you're humbly yielded to the Lord. These two aspects are directly connected. That we need to yield to the Lord, we need to humbly approach him. And how we do that is by first realizing that he has served us. See, you can't serve others. You can't serve your family. You can't serve your aging parents. You can't serve your neighbors until you first realize and yield to the fact that Jesus has served you. He has served you diligently. Do you know that? That Jesus has served you diligently. Now, when you read the Gospels, when you read Matthew, Mark, if you've ever read the book of John, it's going to be hard for you not to notice that Jesus was very diligent. He was active. And he wasn't active serving himself. He was active serving others when he was on this earth. He said that he didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus was diligent to march straight to Jerusalem, knowing what was coming, and he died on the cross for our sin, for your sin. He served you. He served us with compassion. All of us were outside of his inner circle. The Bible says we're not born children of God. We're creations of God, but we're not born children of God. We're outside his family. We're his enemies. But he reached out to those who were needy. He reached out to us by allowing them to stretch out his hands and nail him to a cross. He served us who were poor in our spiritual bank accounts, who had nothing to offer, and yet he reached out to us with compassion to save us, to provide forgiveness. And he serves us with wise words, and we open them every Sunday, and we listen to what God says, where he points us to Jesus, saying that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And he promises us so many things, and with his words, he serves us, pointing us to his compassion, pointing us to his love. Ladies, have you ever trusted once and for all in Jesus? Have you ever humbly yielded to the Lord by yielding to Jesus who served you on the cross? See, the message of Christianity is not, okay, Proverbs 31, now go serve. And if you serve well, God will love you. That's not the message of Christianity. The message of Christianity is Jesus has served you. He has given his life for you. Trust him. And then, with his strength and with him inside you, go do what he did and serve others with the strength that he gives. If you need to trust him and turn to him once and for all for the forgiveness of your sin, surrender to him, yield to him, humbly approach him. Do that now. Maybe you have, ladies or men, particularly ladies this morning, maybe you have, but right now you're feeling a little bit discouraged. Because when you put your life up against the life of this ideal woman, you think, oh my goodness, I'm not very wise. See, don't walk out of here discouraged. Walk out of here encouraged that the God who calls you to this is the God who has served you first. That you love because he first loved you. That his promises he will be diligent to keep. That he has promised that he will diligently stay with you. That he will never leave you or forsake you. And that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. This is not a checklist of what you're supposed to do. This is tracks that Jesus says, I want to run your life on these tracks and enable you and strengthen you to serve as I have served you. Be encouraged that Jesus is the one who's served us and calls us to serve others. There's something about wise womanhood that we see at the end of these verses. Wise womanhood, someone who serves others, someone who is humbly yielded to the Lord, they're recognizable. You notice them. And even this morning, you may have been thinking about some ladies in your life, some women, maybe even in this church. It's like, wow, you know, I think of this person when I think of this wise woman. That's what happens. When a woman walks wisely and serves others, humbly yields to the Lord, others notice. Look at verse 28 and 29. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all, he says. That's what her husband says. Did you see what happens? Her children and her husband noticed how she served, and they praised her. When I was in college, I had a list of what I was looking for in an excellent woman. I had a list. I hadn't written it down, but I had it in my head. So I dated some ladies, and many of them, I thought, wow, they really line up with that list I have. And those relationships didn't work out. And I remember there was a point where I said, you know what, God, I'm just going to toss my list because this isn't working out. So, Lord, you're going to have to give me a list, and you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to drop kick me, because I'm done with my list. And one of the things God did was he helped me to see and find Proverbs 31. And I thought, oh, okay, this is the kind of woman that should be praised. This is the kind of woman that I should be looking for. And God saved my wife, Jackie, and she started coming to the small storefront church that I was a part of, and I noticed some things about her. In fact, when we first started dating, I sat with her and I said, you know, I see in you some of the things, many of the things that God tells me to look for. And I didn't say in Proverbs 31, and I didn't read it to her, but I was in the back of my mind, I'm saying, I'm noticing that she's serving others and she was humbly yielded to the Lord. And I said, I see in you many of the things that God has told me to look for in a woman. And that was part of my, I wouldn't call it a pickup line, right? But that was part of my spiel at the beginning to say, hey, can we spend more time together? Can I date you, essentially? So we've been married for 21 years now, and I would say that recognition has only increased, that I have recognized, I've only recognized more how my wife lines up with these characteristics, how she serves and humbly yields to the Lord. And it is far more precious than jewels. Verse 31, it's the only command in this passage. It's the only command in this passage. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. You know what God is telling us to do in here? Men, he's telling us to praise and honor women who serve others and who humbly yield to the Lord. It's a direct command. And in many ways, that's what Mother's Day is about, isn't it? That we honor, we give her the fruit of her hands. We say, we recognize what you are doing, how you are speaking, how you are living, and we honor you. We thank you mothers this morning. We honor you because God tells us to. And we say thank you for how you serve and yield to the Lord. But even beyond mothers, ladies who show and reflect these characteristics of wise womanhood, we honor you. And we praise the one who fears the Lord and serves others. Thank you for serving. And it's something we should do, men. It's something we should do not just today, not just Mother's Day. It's something we should do continually to honor and encourage. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We do thank you for the women, the young women, the mothers who serve others and humbly yield to the Lord. And we thank you for the influence that they have with their hands, with their words, with their life. And Lord, we ask you, all of us, Lord, these are things that we all need to do, not just ladies, to serve others and to humbly yield to you. God, would you help us all to do that in a greater way? Not just inside our circle, our sphere of influence, but to be looking and watching for those outside who are in need. Lord, to reflect you to others, to serve as you have served, to love as you have loved us. Help us to do that, Lord, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand with us again?
The dark tried to hide you and steal you away. Death tried to keep you inside of the grave. The enemy fought you, he tried but he lost. You cannot be stopped. Cried for freedom, you tore down the walls. The weight of our burdens, you carried it all. Our fears and our failures hang dead on the cross. You cannot be stopped. On your victory and shout out your praise. Miracle maker, your mighty's a saint. Awesome in power, relentless in love. You cannot be stopped. Stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There is nothing. There is nothing. stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God. There is nothing. There is nothing. There's nothing that can stop our God. There's nothing that can stop our God.
Thanks for being with us. And ladies, don't forget to grab a flower on your way out. Our deacons will be there to distribute them. Have a great week. See you soon.